It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mark Lloyd Show. It is Showdown Saturday, is what we're calling it around here. I don't think we're the first ones ever call this Saturday Showdown Saturday, but a huge day in college football with one of the marquee matchups being Florida State taking on the number one team in the country, the Clemson Tigers. Busy show for you, so we're going to get into all the college football. The first playoff rankings came out. We have some giant matchups that will help shape the playoff picture. On top of that, we have our Buccaneers segment coming up later on. Jameis Winston is on a roll. We have our entertainment segment, big news in The Walking Dead, so all kinds of stuff to get to on this edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. And, of course, we're going to talk some NFL, but before we do any of that, let's break in the crew. And first up is Seminole Bill. Seminole, how are you?
Hey, raring to go and looking forward to the show.
Absolutely. Chumness Eric is in the house.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning to you, too. And I hear you got to do a quick shout out to someone special in your life because what?
It's her
What's
birthday.
Going on?
I got to give a special shout out to my girlfriend Brittany because it's her birthday.
Is she real or is she like a girlfriend that, you know, like we all had in the fifth grade and lived in Canada for some reason?
Oh, you're so funny. Am I still in the fifth grade, Mark?
No, you're not. You're a grown man that refuses to audition for The Walking Dead. But other than that, we love you. So, Brittany's, how old is Brittany?
She is 25.
She's 25. Well, happy birthday, Brittany. It's our first one that we're throwing out there really on the Mark Lloyd Show, so that's pretty special. Good stuff. She a Florida State fan?
No.
Oh.
She's a Gator fan.
I didn't know that.
Bill?
She's a Gator fan.
Oh, retract. Retract that happy birthday. We're pulling that back in. Seminole Bill, you got to vet these things.
Do you think I really get a say-so anymore in my position? Geez.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's
but
true.
But the good thing we are on a Gator network, so she should fit right in.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Seminole Bill, this past week, the first college football playoff rankings came out. I actually had no interest in looking at them because all I knew all it would do was get my blood pressure up, bring frustration into my life, and I was not disappointed. Because somehow, some way, Alabama refuses, the country refuses to take, their loss is different from anybody else's loss, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it is.
They're 7-1, yet they're the fourth team in the country, ahead of Baylor, ahead of Michigan State, ahead of TCU, ahead of Iowa. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It pisses me off to no end. It pisses me off that Notre Dame's up there. They're at number five. I think that's ridiculous, too. They lost. Don't give me that stuff. Oh, they lost on the road to Clemson, and they were making a comeback, and they gave the game. No, I don't want to hear any of that garbage. Stop. Stop with, well, you know, they should have lost. At the end of the day, Seminole Bill, it's wins and losses, right?
Well, that's what they say, but again, you know, three letters stand abruptly and distinctively out in all this mess, and it's SEC. They, as you say, Mark, the machine is rolling, and, you know, Notre Dame's kind of, you know, lassoed somebody up there and, you know, pulling them behind, but the bottom line is, at least we can say right now, at least at this point, that the ACC once again reigns supreme at the top of the rankings.
Yes, they do. Clemson is number one. They're a solid number one team. They have, I guess you could say, one good victory on the season, which is over the fifth team, which is Notre Dame. So there's no doubt that's a good victory. But when people say it doesn't matter sometimes, yeah, I say it does about where these teams are ranked. I get when they say, hey, look at the four teams that were ranked at this point last year and who ended up being in it. And I think Florida State was the only team that was part of the playoff picture at this point that ended up staying in it. But Alabama plays LSU. Alabama wins that game in a close one. Say they win in a close one. I do not see the gods punishing LSU that bad. I just don't see it happening.
It'd be the same thing.
I can see LSU dropping the six. There you go, Seminole Bill. I can see him dropping the six, and everybody going, well, you know, that was just a fantastic football game. And yet, you have teams. TCU's. My problem is Alabama and Notre Dame to pull them out of there. I don't mind Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, Baylor, Michigan State, TCU, Iowa. They should all be the teams that are ranked in there next. Then we get into some of these one-loss teams. I know a lot of it's going to play out, obviously, because a lot of them play each other, such as Michigan State, Ohio State. I don't know who else. I don't think Notre Dame plays anybody else. Does Notre Dame play Stanford?
Yeah, they do have Stanford.
They got Stanford. So that's going to be a fantastic game. And then you got the sorry Gators there at number 10, who has to play Vanderbilt to clinch the division, and they're pretty much in the SEC championship game. And then Florida State comes in at number 16. So they lose one game, and they just absolutely get obliterated, and they have them down there so low that Michigan, with two losses, is right behind them. And Ole Miss is 18th in the country with two losses and two awful losses. I mean, really, really bad losses. And then what? It just, you want to throw up next. A&M is 6-2, and they're 19th, and you just want to throw up all over that, saying, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" Two blowout losses for A&M, and then somehow Mississippi State is 20th at 6-2. I mean, what the is going on?
Yeah, It is a rite of passage for these SEC teams. They have a clear path no matter what. They've got everyone snowed into buying their mustard, man. And you know, it must be some really good taste of mustard, because there's a lot of parity in college football right now, and you can see it from the Big 12 to the ACC to the SEC. It don't matter. You pick a Power 5 conference, there's parity in the conferences. You've got three or four teams up there that compete, and a bunch of people knocking each other off, and then at some point, you know, you separate the wheat from the chaff, and you've got the lower end. But even some of those lower end teams are good enough to knock one of the other teams from their perch. We saw that, you know, Georgia Tech, who was projected to be a great, you know, team this year, and then, you know, riled up, and on the last play got FSU. You know, there's a lot of things that go on, and you know something? College and pro, they're different, but in some ways, even though we get mad when we see teams with losing records getting into the pro playoff, if you will, the one thing in there that they don't do is basically, like you just said, it's wins and losses and it's aggregate. You know, it's, look, if you're 6-3 and you're atop your division, you're going. You know, you're going to be in the playoffs. If you're what and whatever, you're going to be in the wild card. So in a way, you know, even a team like my old Steelers years ago, when they had that crazy record and they got into the playoffs and they made their way through and made it to the big game, it's just about getting hot, winning, and winning out. And right now,
but they were earning it. That's the difference.
Correct. Yeah. If they were projected by some poll, you know,
that's right. And the problem by them always being ranked, Seminole Bill, is that they get credit for beating a ranked team.
Yeah.
So you could say, well, Alabama has a couple really good, you know, wins. They beat a ranked A&M at the time, or whatever it was, and a ranked Georgia. Well, because they rank all the SEC teams for no reason at all, because nobody's proving anything. And it's not like that they proved it last year in the bowl season to get credibility to be ranked this season. They look at Alabama and say, well, you know, they beat, at the time it was a 15th ranked A&M team. At the time it was a so-and-so team. And the one loss at the time was against a third ranked Ole Miss team. As time moves on, we realize Georgia sucks. Mississippi State sucks. Ole Miss is not good at all. And so I'm going, then who did they really beat?
What are we?
And then they look at. Yeah, exactly. You look at Clemson and you say, "Well, who have they beat? Well, they beat nobody, but they did beat a Notre Dame team that is for real. Yes, they beat them, but they're still in there, and Notre Dame's beating other teams too. They beat a Southern, yeah. So it goes on and on. All right, Bill, let's jump onto the field real quick. We're going to talk Florida State coming up in just a minute. But the other giant matchup is, of course, takes place in Alabama when the Crimson Tide take on LSU and Leonard Fournette. It is a great game. I am looking forward to watching it. There's no doubt about that. What happens in this game? Break it down for us, Seminole Bill. Alabama against LSU.
Well, I do believe we're going to have a quandary because while LSU is a very worthy team of ranking, Alabama has got exactly what they need to slow that team down. And you saw that in a couple other instances. When you've got a team that plays good against the run, and Alabama is built to stop the run, then, Fournette's going to be unless Fournette just surprises everybody, I think Fournette gets held to a lower total than he normally does. And that's going to force the LSU quarterback to make the plays that he's not always capable of making. But then again,
But that's true. But he has gotten.
He picked it up. I give him credit.
Yes, he has improved.
People said that his weakness was more having to back against the wall and throwing the football. But that the last game, he certainly looked capable. So it's going to come down to, does Alabama take away the bread and butter and force their quarterback to make the plays against their secondary, and then again, how good is Alabama's secondary? The last few games, all you've heard is how great they've been, but prior to that, they talked about the holes in secondary. So it's gonna—that's the battle. Really, the key battle is gonna be, can LSU throw the ball on Bama?
To what you're saying, just to open it up. And one thing that LSU does not do, Somerville, is they do not turn that football over. They are tied for the fewest turnovers on the season with guess who?
FSU.
That's right. And so they're really good in that department. That's something Alabama, they capitalized recently on turnovers doing great things and turning those turnovers into points. But if anybody watched Alabama against Tennessee, that was a dogfight to the end.
Right.
And Tennessee was driving, possibly, to win that football game. LSU has played, has been tested. And Fournette, though, we talk about Alabama's defense. But personally, I think Florida's defense is better than Alabama's. I really do. Because Florida is complete. Florida, the Gators have a better secondary than Alabama. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Absolutely do.
And on top of that, they're strong up front, man. I mean, they're bolder than those guys. And so with that, the reason I brought that up is that Fournette was able to run the ball. I mean, he ran the ball, I think, for 160, 170 yards on the Gators also. So it's going to be, can you run between the tackles? No. Can you run outside of the tackles against Alabama? Yes, teams have done that.
That's where you have to be. Right. You have to be outside. What's not going to happen is, and I just don't see it happening, is Leonard Fournette is not going to, break a, 80-yard run straight up the middle on Bama. If he does, somebody fell down. But that team is built to stop that inside running game. So if they can get the ball out and maybe, use Leonard on some dumps or screens, getting the ball that way, that's the recipe for success. But I just had this gut feeling for some reason, that Bama is going to be up to the task. I don't know why I feel so strongly about it. It's not the Legion, but with that game being in Bama, I think Bama
Bama's favored by 6.5.
I think they won it by field goal.
You think they won it by a field goal? Wow, that's their strong suit. So I love that. I think LSU wins the football game. I think LSU wins the football game by a touchdown. I think Alabama turns the ball over a couple times. I think LSU does not turn the ball over, and LSU solidifies their opportunity to go to the SEC championship game to play the Gators, and then take care of business there in a repeat match. And I see LSU steamrolling themselves right into the playoffs. I believe that. I think they're that complete right now. They have that many great athletes on their team. All right, we're going to take a break. Some of them go. When we come back, my friend, are you ready to talk some Florida State Clemson football?
Oh, yeah, we're ready to go with that.
All right. Stay with us, folks, on the Mark Lloyd Show. We're coming right back.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Showdown Saturday here. Thanks for hanging with us. We do appreciate it as you join us each and every Saturday for the past year. And we're on the radio for days like today, Seminoleville, right?
Yeah, this is a great day in football, you know.
It really is. It is. It's just great matchups. As a sports fan, you're so fired up to watch, you know, your team play, to watch other teams that you're rooting against, and big time matchups, to see great athletes that you know will be playing in the NFL in the next year or two. Florida State comes in at 16th in the playoff poll, whatever you want to call it, up against number one Clemson in Memorial Stadium. Seminoleville, you've been there? You've been to Memorial Stadium?
Yeah. Plenty of times.
When's the last time you've been there?
Golly. The last time was probably mid-2000s. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember.
Okay.
We went up. No, you know what? Coach Bowden's big. He had a monument.
Against Tommy. Right?
Yeah, against Tommy. Up
yeah,
there.
Was I got
to that one.
But, do you recall? If you had to give me your two favorite, because there's some great Florida State Clemson memories for Florida State fans. Give me one or two. What's your two favorite?
Well, certainly. Certainly, you remember the punt, Ruzgi. Yeah, everybody remembers that.
Yeah,
that's in there. I remember Peter Warrick coming back after being suspended, and the Clemson fans all giving us all kind of grief about him being on the field. But he actually was, I think, difference maker. That if I remember that game, he made some plays.
When wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he always was. It helped us win that game for sure that time. The long field goal
by Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah, by Hopkins. That was a great memory. But I will tell you, I don't know if you can beat. Even though I wasn't there for this, I was watching it in Pensacola, regulated to another TV by my father who wanted to watch the Alabama game that night. when Clemson was all this was just a few years ago, the last time we played there, and a young man by the name of James Wimps. Done.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Absolutely
lit him up.
Really did. And from that one
great throw to the corner, you know, with Benjamin making the twirling catch. Just the defense just lighted them. I mean,
LaMarcus Joyner.
Before you knew it,
you know what,
it was already over.
What that game did? Yeah, you're right. What that game did was just instantly. Just that year, you said, and the rest of college football said, "Oh Lord, this team's at a different level, and they're playing at a different level." And that is how we can't say this year there's one great team. Last year, that year, Florida State was clearly the best team in the country. And the one that I remember, similar to it was a little before my time, but you know, I'll never forget the highlights and just my brother telling me about Prime being out there pointing at the fans, saying, "I'm taking this this one back," and he ran it back for a touchdown. But we're not in that year. Where this year, Florida State's a double-digit underdog, getting 12 points against Clemson. Three things, Seminole Bill, that have to happen for Florida State to win this football game. And along with that, I would like to know who you believe the starting quarterback will be. So who's the first? Who's going to be the starting quarterback? And then tell me the three things that need to happen so Seminole fans can be happy Saturday night.
Yeah, this is really going to be tough, honestly. I was at the game last week, and I'll be honest, you know, Sean McGuire looked great. He stretched the field, put the ball in the air. You know, Mark, you and I had this conversation. At the beginning of the year, there's no way I would have told you Sean McGuire needed to be on the field ahead of Golson. And I believe that was true, and at that point in time, absolutely true, because it gave Sean some more time to get reps and things of that nature and watch the game develop. All of a sudden, now he's out there throwing the ball, just, you know, totally different. It, to me, he wasn't as controlled. He just let it go. That's one thing that we haven't seen ever really do this year, is just, you know, he feels like he's been restrained, whereas Sean was out there just slinging it, and our guys responded to it, you know, and it is a tough decision, but you're gonna need that kind of mentality to let go
Bill.
To beat them. So Seminole I would say
Bill.
Sean McGuire.
Okay,
will
good
be
Lord.
Your guy.
So Sean McGuire is the quarterback. Give me the three things that has to happen for Florida State to win this football game.
Sean McGuire has to be efficient in this pressure situation. Just like he was last week, got to put the ball down the field. Because if he is able to put the ball down the field and make Clemson's defense fear the down the field, the long pass, you know, the long ball, that's going to allow people like number four, who we've heard is considerably healthier right now, a lot of pep in his step, to not be, you know, shut down, if you will. And it's hard to shut it down. But if you've got the long ball working in your favor, those corners and everybody can't creep up. They've got to respect the deep pass. Now Dalvin becomes even more dangerous. And you got Ferris Jaka, that just came to play last week like we knew he had to. He actually ran, you know, with thick pads, if you understand what I'm saying. There were guys out there in the third quarter that did not want to get in the way.
They're retired. That was Syracuse, and this is Clemson. So your first thing, Seminole Bill, is Sean McGuire, you're saying, has to be efficient. So that's number one. How does he be efficient? Is it tied in that the offensive line has to not even play well? They just have to be okay.
They have to give him time. This is going to be a better defense. I will tell you, Syracuse is not slouchy. You know, they're not up there, of course, in the ranks. But they, you know, they have been fairly decent at sustaining a rush and not getting burned. And last week they just got totally torched. They really did. So if we can have the same mentality, come out there and play wide open, and we should. We've got nothing to lose. We're not supposed to win this ball game.
That's right,
everybody. We're not supposed to win this ball game. So if we just come out there and play that way, offensively we'll be fine. I think having two running backs now, plus, you know, our other guys.
And Fender's going to play, supposedly.
I haven't heard much on the Mario situation,
But
well, I heard that they said he's available. So,
That's great if it is. But I can tell you, I'd love to see Thunder and Lightning in the backfield most of the day. And that's
defensive wise, Seminole Bill, Deshaun Watson is such a superstar. And when I look at Clemson, there's only probably, I would say, six teams in the country that you look at and you just see athletes everywhere. You know, no matter where you look, the Bamas, Florida State, the Buckeyes, Southern Cal, whether they're a good team or not, it doesn't matter. But you just look at it and you see there's athletes everywhere. Clemson's one of those teams.
They have, you know, they have great skill players.
They have great skill players. So what does Florida State defensively have to do to, once again, they're not going to stop them, but what do they have to do to keep Florida State in the game, to give that offense, if it is struggling, a chance?
Well, they just have to learn how to make Clemson drive the field, okay? Do not give up big plays, you know? You really have to do that.
People mention this similar bill, and you're a former player, so you can. Is that tackle? They said how important it's going to be against Clemson because of the skill players that you mentioned, Ray McLeod, or also Artavius Scott, etc. To tackle in space.
Yeah.
Explain that to people out there that might be listening that say, yeah, we hear that, but what does that mean, tackle in space?
Well, excuse me. What it really means is you can't let somebody just juke you and run flat by you. When you have the guy lined up, you have to bring him to the ground or at least hold him to where someone else can help you. You need a lot of guys getting to the football quickly because this is going to be athlete against athlete, okay? And you know, again, if you just think back – back in the days when you got an FSU-Miami or FSU-Florida matchup, or even, you know, when you got the same caliber of players on both sides of the ball, the bottom line is, if you know, the coach will always tell you, we can't give up big plays, you know, scoreboard-changing plays. You have to do that. You have to limit your penalties, and that's going to be a huge one for our offensive line this year.
That's just embarrassing right now, what's going on for offensive line.
We cannot have those penalties that kill our drives and push us back, like what happened in Georgia Tech, what happened, you know, it's been consistently happening. That is the thing that's hurting this team, aside for the defense. To me, defense has come along. And the defense has really played well, Seminole Bill. Yeah.
And I think they're only going to get better. So, all right. So, in closing, what happens in the game? Tell all the Seminole fans out there, what's the final score?
You know, my heart will tell me that we should rise up and beat these guys, you know, because we've owned them the last few years. But that's my heart talking. If my heart's talking, you know, we're going to have to beat them 35-31. But realistically, if the head's looking at this ball game, Clemson should defeat FSU by 7 points. You know, they're a really, really good ball club. And but again,
so, Bill, what's the score?
I'm going to go with my heart.
There you go.
We're going to win 35-31. But
that is an awesome. You know what, Somerville? I'll go with my heart also on it, because when we pick these games, nobody's out there. We're not saying. Put it this way, folks. Here's the little asterisk next to it. Seminole Bill and I are picking this game with our heart. So don't go put money on our picks and then call us up or tweet us and yell at us because we got it wrong. So we understand that we're going with the heart. And the score you just gave, I was thinking 34-31, Florida State. So I think we're right in the same area. That's going with the heart because we cheer for Florida State. And that's why you play the game. Anything can happen, man. And here's the thing. The best player on that football field, bar none. Now, I know you could say the Rams, but the difference maker, the scoreboard changer, only one team has him. And that's Florida State with Cook. Chunk yardage and a few big, long touchdown runs by Cook, which I expect him. I expect him to get one in this game. It's just as good as, like, a turnover that Florida State capitalized on. And then we get a few of those, Simbleville. If Dalvin Cook is running the ball, we're the ones asked to play the great game. But if Cook is running the ball, I trust that defense. I trust Florida State's defense to keep them in the game. I really do believe that. They have that good of athletes.
Here's what you do on offense. When either offense is on the board, keep your eyes on the fours. Those are the guys that put the points on the board. For
very
example,
good.
Deshaun Watson, he is as good a quarterback as you're going to face this year. Contender for Heisman, and Dalvin Cook. Both those two, they're the difference makers for both teams' offenses. And defensively, again, who does not give up the big play? The one with the – again, it sounds simple, but the less big plays you allow, the more the game favors you. And the weather mill was supposed to be, coming out. I don't know what – I'm not looking at it right now, but the weather mill was supposed to be that there's a chance for rain up there. And if the chance of rain is up there, then, who knows? I mean, if there's going to be a consistent rain up there, running the ball is a little more favorable for us. And, throwing the ball in the rain is a little bit more difficult. So we'll see. Never know.
Anything can happen. We will.
Death Valley.
No doubt about it. 3:30.
Going to be fun.
Yep, 3:30 at Memorial Stadium. Should be a great game. All right, we got to take a break, Bill. When we come back, we're going to switch our allegiance now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by famous Jameis Winston, who is playing some outstanding football. We'll get into the Mark Lloyd's locker room report with the Buccaneers when we come back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
This is Bill Bassett.
And Eric Sweeney.
With Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
All right, Buck fans, it's time to head down to Mark Lloyd's locker for your Bucks report, right here on Freedom 93 FM.
Thank you very much, Simonville. It is time for Mark Lloyd's locker room report with the Bucks, who are a very sneaky and quiet 3-4 football team on the year. And the reason I say that is because, and Simonville, back me up on this one, is that yes, they have 3 wins, surpassed last year's win total, so that's good news.
Right.
They've lost 4 games, but 2 of those 4 games that they lost, arguably, they were there to win. It was theirs for the taking. They blow a giant lead against the Redskins,
yep.
And then their kicker, I think it was against the Texans, their kicker, one of them, the guy missed like 5 field goals, and they would have won the game.
Yeah.
He kept on missing the game. I'm pretty sure it was against them.
It was that one, the Texans. It was.
It was against Houston. I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
2 games they got blown out in. I mean, they were never really the Carolina game, and of course the game against Tennessee. But last week goes on the road, Jameis Winston in overtime and defeats Matty Ice and a really good Atlanta Falcon football team. And he was just, and he being Jameis Winston, was so impressive in this game, not because of gaudy stats, Seminoleville, but because of the way he ran the team. You know, he controlled it the whole time. He was patient. He was, you could see him just commanding the huddle and the players believing in him throughout the game. So it was just an all-in-all impressive performance by Jameis Winston, and the Bucs get the victory in overtime 23-20.
It was an outstanding job by Jameis, being Jameis, with the Jameis we're used to seeing out there and getting more comfortable. The articles and all the praise that's been heaped upon him since this, you know, this past week is well-deserved. He's really up-tempoed the game. He cemented himself as their leader, even in his rookie season. Everyone has followed the Jameis train. And also, using the inspiration factor, Quan Alexander, you know, defensive LB for the Bucs, you know, with the tragic story of his, you know, little brother being shot and passing, was an inspirational story that, you know, Jameis and all the Bucs shared in that experience, and rallied the troops and really took a game that they were not supposed to even be in, and made it their own fantasy land because they pulled off a great win. So congrats to the Bucs.
And what a game Quan Alexander
really,
had.
Really good ball game. He played great. Played inspired football, said he was playing for his brother. And, you know, I mean, you just feel so good for that young man having to deal with such a heavy heart. And then all the teammates rallying around him and really going out there, as Jameis said, and then winning that game for him and his family. So that's outstanding stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So they pull off the victory. They're 3-4 on the season now. And the Buccaneers are back home, 4 o'clock start on Fox and also right here on Freedom 93. You can find the Buccaneer game this Sunday. The Giants come to town at 4-4. 1-3 away from the Met, where they play their home game. So not the best Giants football team. It's almost like the typical Giants football team. What a shock. They're 4-4. That's the way they always play. Never too bad, never too great. They're always even keel. I don't know what that means. Sometimes it means they go on to win the Super Bowl. Sometimes it means they don't make the playoffs. Well, there's a few things that stick out in my mind when the Giants come to town is that they have no pass rush. So if the Buccaneers offensive line, which I got to admit, it has improved. They run the ball extremely well. They're one of the best running football teams in the NFL right now, led by Doug Martin with over 600 yards already on the season. So they run the ball effectively. And the Giants with no pass rush should give Jameis Winston some time to throw to his targets. And it would be nice. Mike Evans can catch all the balls. It's almost like he's guaranteed to drop at least a couple balls every game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy. You think of this, it's almost it is humorous in a bad way, but if the balls that have been drops were you know, being caught, you can't – I mean, the stats for Jameis would be just ridiculous, you know? They really would.
There's no doubt about that. And similar, Bill, let me ask you, I know, obviously, from following at Florida State, but a lot of people talk about, and a lot of people now on the Jameis bandwagon, by the way, if you haven't noticed, now he's the quarterback everybody thought he would be. Of course, after week one, they wrote him off, and after he threw a few more interceptions, I think it was against Carolina, they wrote him off again, but now he's a superstar. And over the past 5 weeks, or something like that, last weekend or the past three or four games, I think in the past three or four games, he's like number 5 in the NFL in the QBR rating. But one of the things that I think we knew he had it in college, but it's really nice to see it translate to the NFL, and that's Winston's ability to – he pushes the ball down the field. And so many times rookie quarterbacks can't do that. That means because they can't read it or they don't have enough guts. But Winston has all those abilities, and I'm pretty sure he's – second or third for average yards per catch or attempt or whatever you want to call it. He's averaged about 9-point-something yards over the last three games, so that's fantastic. But I didn't see that necessarily coming from Winston this early. Did you?
Well, I mean, you know, you like to always say you think so. It takes time in the NFL. I don't care, you know, who you are. But Jameis is one of those rare people. Rare talents that, you know, just stepped in and took his lumps. Most guys take them the whole first season. He took his few lumps. Then he decided to use his gray matter, if you will, and learn from what he was doing wrong, and then does what we've seen him do when he was here. You know, he just progressively gets better and better and better. And when the game was on the line, as one of the broadcasters that day was touting it, one of the best clutch performers that you can have on your side. And even as a rookie, he's showing the poise that we already saw when we had him here. When we know what he's capable of doing, and you can write him off all you want to, but he's right there in the thick of things when he needs to be, and that's what you hope to have in a NFL quarterback. And boy, do the Bucs, they can lick their chops looking forward if they just get the right things to happen and the components around him. You got the guy that can take you to the championship. You know, it's just give the rest of the team time to catch up and get all the parts in place and play sound football. And the Bucs, heck, just look at the two games they lost that they could have been in. This is a pretty amazing success story already, but just take a couple more wins, maybe they could have done if they'd have been, a little bit more, top notch out the gate.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, what do you expect for these guys?
No, I know
that,
No, there's no doubt about it. They're headed in the right direction. Similar Bill, real quick, we got to take a break. What's the final score in this Buck game?
I think the Bucks take it. I think the Bucks, James is on the roll, and everyone's going to follow him like they say they are. I think the Bucks win by 7.
The Bucks win by 7. You heard it here from Similar Bill. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, talk about NFL. We have a fitness tip, a water check, and also an entertainment segment. All that coming up right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's gonna make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us on the Showdown Saturday. Hopefully, everybody's going to be in front of their television today, especially at 3:30 when Florida State takes on Clemson. Of course, the other big matchup tonight, or that night, would be Alabama and LSU. But also, of course, on Sunday, we have the Buccaneers that we just talked about, and there's some other big matchups in the NFL that we're going to get to in just a minute. But first, let's do our water check. It's important to drink at least a gallon of water every single day. So we always preach that. We have for over a year now, and we kind of have our own little contest of who's drank the most water in the last 24 hours. Similar Bill, where do you come? Oh, wait, well, I'm at 131.
128.
Hot on my heels, but at the end of the day, it's all good. Terminus?
I'm at 115.
Not bad. There's nothing wrong with being in third place. The world needs somebody to be in third place also, but that's okay. The bottom line is that you're drinking more than zero like you used to. So we've made improvement with him, Seminole Bill.
Great, we've made it.
Now, Seminole Bill, with 128 ounces going flowing through your body, that means that now you're hydrated enough to get out there and start training more on a consistent basis. And one of the things that people start training, they start looking at all kinds of different supplements. So my tip this week it's kind of like somebody was, I was reading, and then somebody was in a YouTube video was kind of explaining it too. When it comes to these supplements, it's kind of to each his own. That every supplement does work to a point, but it's what you get out of it. It's you get out of that supplement what you put into it. Do you follow the instructions? Do you take it on an empty stomach? Do you take it before you work out? That there is no miracle pill that's going to get you lean and ripped just because you're taking it like these advertisements. So the bottom line is do your research, but just know there's no miracle pill. You get in, you get what you put into it. You get out of it what you put into it. Simple enough. You got that similar bill?
I can do that.
Excellent. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little pigskin. Then we have our entertainment segment coming up, a Walking Dead recap, which was another hour and a half episode this past week. This upcoming week looks really fantastic, too. Big backup symbol, Bill. The Packers, who weren't undefeated until they lost to the Broncos last week, they have to travel to the Carolina Panthers, who are 7-0, undefeated on the season. Who wins this game?
I think the Pack bounces back.
I do, too.
Yeah, they do.
I do, too. I think the Packers beat the Carolina Panthers, even though it's at Carolina. Okay, next up, a very important game for these two teams. The Miami Dolphins travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills. A huge game for both teams because they both have playoff aspirations this year. Who wins this game?
Let's go with the Fins. I think the Bills are having a little bit of a trouble. They've got trouble written all over their faces right now with what's going on. So let's go with the Fins.
They're reeling a little bit. I hear you, Simple Bill. Okay, two more games I want you to comment on. This is a great game right here. And it's the Rams against the Vikings. It's Gurley against Peterson. But both teams play for a lot. The Vikings are 5-2 on the season, Simple Bill. It's in Minnesota. The Rams are 4-3, and they have a really good defense. So it should be an interesting football game. Who wins this game?
Give me the
and who gains more yards rushing?
Wow,
Vikings win, and who gains more yards?
You know what? I think Gurley might outrush Peterson this week, but I think ultimately the Vikings take the game.
Ultimately, the Vikings take the game. Okay. Usually, the Eagles game would be a monster game against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys and no Tony Romo, we're not even interested in that game. The Falcons are taking on the Niners, who have benched Colin Kaepernick. The management there is so awful; they have no idea what they're doing. They need to bring back Eddie DeBartolo.
Yeah, Eddie D. They need that, but they sure miss their old coach, don't they?
Yeah, that's for sure. No, but the game I want you to pick, some of those, the Raiders. The Raiders, as Berman said, travels to take on your Pittsburgh Steelers. You're 4-4. The Raiders are 4-3. We called it, some of the Bill, at the beginning of the year. You and I said, look out for the Raiders this year. They're going to be a lot better. They're finally going to be okay, and they're proving that right now. Who wins that game?
Ben's back. They won't be wearing those godforsaken throwback jerseys again, I don't think, to make them look like Charlie Brown. I don't know. So,
I mean, that is awful.
You know, man, that just hurts my eyes. Sorry. The terrible towels will be out in full force. Let's go with those Steelers to bounce back after a close loss and, you know, get back in the mix. Steelers edge out the Raiders by two.
All right. There you go, Silverdale. I love you're picking that time, not just with your heart.
No.
I love it. All right, guys. This past week is our entertainment segment now. We always focus on The Walking Dead. And last week was another hour-and-a-half episode. That's 2 hour-and-a-half episodes. And real quick, let me ask you guys, because we were wondering, why has there already been 2 hour-and-a-half episodes? And my only thought is that AMC has had a talk with The Walking Dead, you know, Scott Gimple and them, and it's just making so much money. I think they said, hey, we're going to give you the freedom, and we want you to make it a little longer because we make even more money off of it. Because I don't understand. I've never heard of this before. 2 episodes in the middle of the season already being an hour and a half long.
Well, I will say one thing, and Terman is probably going to pick up on this too. They're inserting some promos for some other shows that they want to take off. You've seen that. So you got a couple of opening, plus the little skit that they do in the middle there in the plane. But they have been inserting the promos these past few weeks for those new shows they're trying to bring on and taking advantage of the audience.
I guess that's it, maybe. Maybe that's the case. But this past week's episode was all about Morgan. I didn't think they'd spend an hour and a half on it, but they did. And it gave his whole backstory about why he doesn't want to kill anybody, this whole Aikido situation. And then it leaves us on a cliffhanger, guys. And that is, you know, Morgan's a good guy. I like him, but at the same time, he's kind of put everybody in jeopardy by letting that guy live. The leader of the wolves, or I don't know if he's the leader, but he's even telling him, dude, if I get out, I'm going to kill you. He's telling that to Morgan, and Morgan just doesn't care. That whole Aikido mentality, and this guy's down in the basement. Is that going to come back to haunt him? What do you think?
Terminus.
I think everybody has done something that came back and haunted them here in The Walking Dead, I've noticed. And they've definitely made it a point to, with him looking back at the gate and everything like that, I have a feeling it's going to come back.
Morgan is going to have some blood on his hands. Yeah. And not his own.
Because
the wolf is going to get out, kill some people. Okay.
And now that you say it like that,
what do you think?
Now that you say it like that, I kind of feel like something's going to happen, and then him and Rick are going to get into it now.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice, Terminus, because there has been a little tension, because Rick's not the same guy that he used to be because of everything he's gone through. So that's really interesting that does Morgan get some blood on his hands, and now Rick is pissed, and you wonder if Rick and him go at it. You wonder if Rick kills him. You never know. I mean, this show does stuff like that. All kinds of crazy stuff. And hopefully this upcoming week we'll find out more. They left us. No idea if Glenn's alive or not. No idea what happened to Rick and how he's going to get out of that RV with all the walkers around them. Even though I think you have a good theory where people are going to start shooting their guns and the walkers are just going to go away. But, you know, we have that also to look forward to as well. So it should be another fantastic week. I don't know how many episodes we have left before they go on break again. I don't even want to think about it, so don't even tell me, because that's always a little depressing. Because yeah. Next up, after The Walking Dead. And real quick, guys, I'm going to see James Bond this weekend.
Spectre.
So I'm fired up about that, and we'll be able to talk about Spectre next week.
That'll be fun. That's a great movie.
All right, we got to get out of here. It's Showdown Saturday, Somerville Terminus, Eric. We got to get busy.
Hold on.
You got 2 minutes, sir.
We do. We got 2 minutes left. Usually we try. We're always up against the clock.
No.
All right.
We've got a 2 minute drill going right now. So you're.
Oh, we got the 2 minute drill right now. So that gives me a chance to real quick mention about Spectre and the James Bond movie, since it's an entertainment segment. That I'm curious. I mean, some of those, you love James Bond, right?
Yeah, I grew up on James Bond. James and the Man.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Does it bother you at all that Daniel Craig's attitude towards playing him is just awful? I mean, like, when they ask him questions like, you know, could you do another Bond? He said, you know, I'd rather break a bottle and cut my wrist than do another Bond.
It bothers me. It bothers me because the first two guys in there, you remember our generation and oh, good grief. Roger Moore, you know, was.
Well, Roger Moore.
Before him,
Sean Connery.
I mean, those guys, those were the Bonds. Those are, to me, the true Bonds. You know, everybody after that, I'm sorry, never could play the role as good as those two guys. But
there's no doubt. But they all seem to really enjoy it and embrace it. You know, from Pierce Brosnan to Timothy Dalton, you know, they all said, wow, you know, I'm James Bond. And I think Daniel Craig. Was that early on? But now, for some reason, he's learned to not really care about the role. Even though the movie's good, I mean, I'm fired up. I can't wait. I heard great things about it, so I'm really excited about watching it. And I think it's going to be fantastic. But it's just kind of interesting, his attitude towards it. And I was curious if we are out of time, Seminoleville. You have a fantastic Showdown Saturday. Okay?
Well,
go Noles.
Go Noles.
Terminus Eric, a happy birthday to your girlfriend once again, even though she's a Gator fan.
Yes. And a belated happy birthday to our little one that does a lot of our commercials sometimes, Miss Lana. The big nine.
Miss Lana, there you go. Happy birthday to Miss Lana also. All right, Summer the Bill. Hey, Terminus Eric. I'm Mark Lloyd. We will talk to you next week. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody.